Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. Healthy and happy holidays. Not only the title of the show, but a wish as well. And to lead us in that discussion of healthy and happy holidays is Patty Hudson, wellness coach, fellow seminar presenter. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, and we're going to be very attentive so that when we eat all the stuff we eat, we can do things afterwards to make it go away.
Good to be here. Good plan.
Okay, good. And John Elliott, federal benefit strategist, retired Fed, retired seminar presenter, email answerer, and guest co-host of the show. Good morning, John.
Morning, Bob and Patty.
This is 2 weeks in a row, huh?
Yes, it is. That happens.
Okay.
Sometimes.
All righty. Healthy and happy holidays. I guess stress, and I'm reading off your bullet points, is it inevitable? In other words, gee, I got to buy this, or I have to be here, or I have to be there. How do we get around that?
You don't. Stress is inevitable, but it's how you interpret it. It becomes problematic when stress becomes distress as opposed to eustress, which is good stress. Okay, so it becomes problematic when you when your perception is, I got to do this, I got to do that, got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, no time, no time, no time, no time, oh.
I'm moderate neurotic. So how do I convince myself that I got to do this, I got to do that.
Well, prioritize. You have to have a plan, in my opinion. Everything has to have a plan. So when you're looking at the holidays, what do you want to get done? So you focus on exactly what you want your holiday to look like, and then you prioritize according to what you want it to look like. And when you're deciding how much time to spend per, let's call them bullet points, when you're deciding how much time to spend per bullet point, there's got to be something that can be on the drop-off list.
Okay.
So when you prioritize and you get to the bottom, you know, of the bullets, then you got to realize that, uh-oh, maybe I can't accomplish the last two, and that's okay. Maybe I can't accomplish the last five, and that's okay. You know, and I tell people, you always got to have a should list and a could list. All right? And the should list, you write down everything that you think you should accomplish. Okay? And the could list happens after you ask yourself, why should I accomplish all this? And usually what happens is you can take a whole bunch of stuff off your should list. And that's going to help to minimize the stress that you're under.
So you should write this stuff down. Is that a good idea, your priorities?
Yeah, absolutely. Write down. What I'm saying about prioritize how you want, what it would take to get your holiday to look the way you want it to look. And then you focus on that.
Okay.
Okay? So that's, you've done that your whole life.
I would like it to look like no holiday, but that's me.
But there's a lot of people that feel that way.
I'm sick of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel that way.
I used to like it. But.
Okay, so when I have this list and time is getting short, can I do some of the top priorities halfway?
Well, that depends. Give me an example of halfway.
I have to paint. I have to clean up the house, part of it. So I just say, heck with it. This is going to get dirty anyway when everybody comes in.
I can't even conceive of anybody saying I have to paint, but okay.
Call Nancy.
I'd throw that one right off the list as far as cleaning up, just orderly. I mean, you don't have to decide that, oh, this is the time to do my fall cleaning the week before Christmas. You know, I don't think that anybody's going to come in your house and say, well, you're really a slob. And if you have friends that do that, they need to be off your list.
Yeah. And I've always found other people's houses look better than mine, either because what you do notice, it always seems everybody's house looks better than your own. At least I've found that to be true.
Okay.
You're not very, I'm at least, I don't think many people are that judgmental about other people's dwellings, but that may be just be me.
All right, Patty, on one of your bullet points, bear in mind that the two greatest stressors, let's call it, let's call it what it is. Two greatest stressors are change and loss of control. Now, we pretty much know when we've lost control, but if we're in that sliding downward loss of control, how do we put the brakes on it?
The only thing that you really have power over there, when I say loss of control, what I'm talking about, basically, when it gets to the point where it's unbearable stress, circumstances that happen to you without your permission, okay? Everybody is going to have some form of loss of control. There's only 24 hours in a day. And if you have to sleep 8 and you work 8, okay, what's that? You do the math, okay? What's left, all right? And then
is that a test?
It's a test. And you're a financial guy, you better pass it. But seriously, if you do the math, you know, you've got to realize, all right, there's only so much time and I can't control time. So that's a stressor, but not as big of a stressor as maybe having to deal with a life-changing event that might happen at Christmas present or has happened in Christmas past. Okay. So when you're looking at stress, are you going to have stress during the holidays? Yes. So I'm saying accept that that's the way it is and now apply techniques to help you minimize the stress and deal with it, function with it. Things like this isn't not the time to say I'm not going to exercise. This is not the time to say, well, I'll start again January 1st. I'm going to give myself permission not to exercise from December 1st till January 1st. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. This is not the time to decide, well, I can eat whatever I want because after all, it's the holiday. Okay. This isn't the time to rationalize and justify behaviors that are going to create more stress in the long run. It's not the time.
Okay. And then do we pick up that bucket afterwards?
What bucket?
I'm not going to worry about this until after the holidays are over.
Well, that's why I'm saying don't put anything in that bucket that's negative. You do what you can. I don't care if you're presently exercising and you presently have a routine. I'm saying don't abandon it. Okay. You can do less. For instance, if you walk a half an hour a day and time only allows you 15 minutes, that's great. Do the 15 minutes and don't be judgmental about, I didn't get in the half an hour, so, you know, I might as well blow the whole thing. No, that's not the mentality that I would like to people to have during the holiday season, specifically because of the stress. I mean, we all know the benefits of exercise. We all know that. It puts your physiological body in a better state to handle any stress.
Okay. Now, if anybody's looking for stress relief, we're here. 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. And we're here for another, Andrew, 35 minutes? Okay, 40 minutes. We're on a long time today, huh? Not really, same time every week. And then after that, you can email us. We'll talk about the email in a little bit. But again, 202-465-3080. All righty, gifting. I'm looking at your bullet points again. Eliminate unnecessary gift exchange.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people feel like, well, I have to buy for this one on my list and that one on my list. And that guy gave me a gift, so I got to buy that guy a gift. And this person gave me a gift, so I got to buy this person a gift. And before long, your list is 4 pages. Okay. So again, prioritize. Again, who do you actually have to buy a gift for? And you got to get rid of the quid pro quo mentality. You know, you bought me something, I got to buy you something. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Here's the good thing about that. That should not be your motivation or your intent for buying a gift anyway, in my opinion. All right. So you can say to someone, you know, I think that the gift that I give of friendship is going to be all year round. All right. And how do you feel about that? You know, after you prioritize, after you sit down and you say, all right, I gotta buy for mom, I gotta buy for dad, I gotta buy for grandma and grandpa, I gotta buy for family members. And there are other strategies that you can do as well. You know, my boys are grown now. So, and they have, one has a wife and girlfriends. And so they've decided that what they're going to do is throw their names in a hat and just pull a name. And they'll buy, everybody will get a present, but everybody won't get six presents. And quite frankly, everybody doesn't need six presents. So that's a good thing.
Oh, well, yes, they do.
Anyway. Yeah, sister and my wife came to an agreement to suspend exchanging gifts. And I was very happy to hear that. Plus, it's so easy to do stuff online. If you have to send a gift, and my family's scattered all over the country, you know, you just press go online and send something. And it's
or a
easy.
Gift card.
Yeah, that's good.
I told my boys, I'm not running all over creation so that I can run all over creation after the holidays and bring back something that I paid full price for that is now going to be a third of the price after the holiday. So, you know, I'll buy you some sensible things like dish towels and then after the holiday and underwear and socks and then give you a gift card. You know, tell me where do you want to gift card from, or I'll give you a Visa card, whatever. Okay. So you can do that. I'll tell you what, I don't know about everybody, but for me personally, my in-laws are retired and they're on a specific budget. My mother-in-law is probably one of the most talented women I've ever met. And I tell her every year, I want a Lois Hudson original. And that can be a dishcloth that she crochets. And she actually makes baskets from pine needles.
Does she sign them?
She does. She puts a little, it looks like a Scrabble chip, and she attaches it to the basket with her name on it.
Hmm.
So I personally, you know, my girlfriend and I don't exchange gifts. So I took a candid shot. Well, my husband took a candid photograph of me, and she sent me a candid one of her. And I bought a frame and went to CVS and put a Sepia technique to it, to the photograph, and sent it to her. And she said it was better than $1 million gift. So there's those kinds of things that you can think about doing, you know, and even those are things that you can do in November.
Okay, I like that, because one of, again, your bullet points was be creative with gift giving. And I like that. I'm very hard to buy stuff for because I'm so fussy. If you want to say, people want to know what to get you. I said, cash. You can't do cash. I said, how about this? I'll pick the thing out in the size that they can buy it, and then they can give it to me. And I think they throw up their hands, and here's a lump of coal. And maybe that's better. Then I don't have to take it back.
I think that it's really good that you tell them exactly what you want.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. I think probably the biggest problem there is people listening.
Yeah, well, there's a list. And not crazy expensive, just, mm-hmm. you know, it can be socks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
perfect.
Some type of socks or a sweatshirt.
And as you get older, I've found you have accumulated all this junk.
I was going to just say that, junk.
And yeah, I need a permanent dumpster outside my house, or maybe not permanent, but a dumpster for a while just to get rid of junk. What we don't need in our house is more junk, you know.
No more blenders and no more pots and pans.
Yeah, unless you have a specific need for a particular blender. Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Explore ways to create warm memories. I like that. New traditions like that. And gift-giving ideas. Ask, in 10 years, will I or someone else still have the gift or memory?
Yeah.
I like the emphasis on memory.
Yes, I do too.
Because, you know, the physical thing may be dropped, broken, lost, but the memory can't be until
exactly.
you get a certain age. But then you don't remember anything.
Well, you got a long time before that happens, Bob. But exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you can keep certain holiday traditions and drop others, okay, and then create new ones. Once again, I'll use an example from my life. You know, I'm a first generation Italian, so Christmas Eve is fish and everything, soup to nuts, and then Christmas Day is five courses, and everybody's concerned with weight, and everybody's concerned with eating, and there's no way that you can consume everything. So I've changed that a little bit. I've changed Christmas Eve to hors d'oeuvres and a buffet-like style hors d'oeuvres and just sitting around. And now what we do is Christmas Eve, we talk about, I know it's probably going to sound a little corny to people out there, but we have a toast about what we're grateful for in the past year. What one event turned out spectacularly in the past year. And it's a nice form of intimacy. It's nice to learn something about, you know, especially with my boys, because they're at the age where, you know, they don't tell me a lot. So that's the deal. And Christmas Day, we also do a toast. So we put in some of our own traditions, and I've taken out some of the stressful things that came from my, what I call foo, family of origin. So I take out some of those, and it makes for a better holiday all the way around.
I like that. I mean, I might even use that.
Good.
If you went around a table, say, at the meal, whatever you celebrate, and there's a meal, and then you went around the table, and some people might be a little shy and say, what was your most memorable event? It could be emotional, I mean, not negative emotion, but positive emotion, or it could be something material. And I could say, okay, you can pass on this. Years ago, we throw a Thanksgiving party before Thanksgiving. It's always a week before, and we call it Waywards. And it celebrated its 33rd year right before Thanksgiving this year. And probably one of my most memorable, other than the first, when it said turn the turkey. And I thought you had to pick up the turkey and turn it over. And that's not what you do, right? But one year, we had somebody come in dressed like a turkey. I'm not
cute.
Kidding. And it was Tom Turkey, and he greeted all the guests. And that's my most memorable of all the Waywards.
Of course you're going to remember that. Yeah, that's great. I like it.
And, you know, it wasn't anything over the top. It was just fun.
Yeah.
And people didn't know what to do. And they said, who's that? You know, they were trying to figure out whether it was one of the group or not. Anyway, so that's a great idea. I'm going to use that this year.
Good.
All righty, three good things about holiday stress. I mean, we don't want to be negative. And stress connotes negative, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Connotes negative. And we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about how to create it, to create an offset against what is perceived to be stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those three good things.
Well, if you prioritize, okay, and you allow yourself that, you're going to feel good about that. You're going to have... What I tell people is always, whether it's holiday stress or any other kind of stress you're under, find three good things about that negative event, okay? So with holiday stress, one of the good things is if you stay focused on exactly how you want your holiday to look, it's going to happen, I promise you, and that's a good thing. So if you stay positive and focused on that, I can get this done. And like you said, give people a pass for the toast. Also give people a pass. Give yourself a pass for what you can't finish. So that's one of the good things. Making something for someone, focusing on a memory. Okay. Well, you just said, and what I wrote down is in 10 years, what's going to happen? When my boys were little, we didn't have a lot of money and they were in school And so at the holiday time, I made ornaments for every person in their grade. And I put the date on the back of the ornament. And you know, I put my PMH on the back of it. But basically, it was the date. And I put the name of every class member on the front of the ornament. And I had women come up to me when my boys were graduated from high school and tell me, we still have those ornaments. We put them on the tree every year. Okay, and I got to tell you, I don't know who half these people are, but that's creating a memory, okay? And if you focus on that, that's a good thing about Christmas, all right? The other thing is, so getting the gratitude thing in there, what I did with my boys when they were little, let's gift some of your last year's toys. Let's gift some of your last year's toys. We can wrap them up. We can do whatever you want with them, and you're going to come with me, and we're going to gift your last year's toys to somebody who can use them because you're not playing with them anymore. And you're going to do two things. You're going to declutter, and you can't imagine how excited kids get about that. Oh, okay, Mom. Okay. Okay, Mommy. This is a good idea. This is a good idea. So those kinds of things, when you get out of beyond self, okay, when you get beyond self, then you're going to find the good things about Christmas stress, because Christmas is a feeling, okay? And you want it to be a good feeling. So you got to personalize it. How is it going to be a good feeling for me? I don't know anybody that doesn't feel good. I call it an energy deposit. I don't know anybody that doesn't feel good about paying it forward or giving. Okay, if you don't feel good about giving the gift, then you really shouldn't be giving it.
I like that. Years ago, talk about before you got a job, and like friends had got married, and she made this. It was made out of like a pipe cleaner, and it was a picture of her and just like a little. Bouquet, like a what? I still have it.
Uh-huh.
And back then, in the crazier times, I did the DJ for their reception, and it was a great time. And there wasn't, you know, I don't think a ton of money spent, but it's fond memories.
See, and that you're going to have that, you're going to keep that. So, you know, it when somebody in their mind is reminded in a positive way. That's an energy deposit for you that you're not even aware of. You're not even aware of that because somebody's thinking, oh, wow, you know, Bob DJ'd my wedding. And you're thinking, oh, wow, look at this. That takes you back to that memory. You get to relive that memory, and it's a positive memory. So it's a deposit. A negative memory with the holiday season. And you know, we're going to continue with our discussion here, but and I want to preface anything that I say with I'm not trying to minimize anyone's pain at the holiday in any way. But a negative memory, if you allow that to be front and center every Christmas, you live that negative memory every Christmas. You recreate that negative memory every Christmas.
Hmm. I have one of those, but I let it be in the back.
That's great.
It's never in the forefront.
That's great.
I have no negative memories of Christmas, but I still am sick of it. Explain that.
Well, you're a blessed man.
They don't know
one.
You, John.
You're a blessed man that you have no negative memories of Christmas. But to explain it, I can't. You'd have to. Why are you sick of Christmas? What are the reasons?
Oh, I'm just tired of it, and you know, the putting up the tree and all of this stuff. And although once the tree's up, it's kind of a relief. It's over. And it's nice to look at with the lights and all that.
But you celebrate both, no?
What? Hanukkah as well?
Yeah.
Well, we light the menorah, or my wife does. But
ooh, I like that. Don't you get presents at Hanukkah?
13 of them?
No, it's 8 days of Hanukkah.
I thought you got a present every day.
Well, you can, but my two adult children still get, I think, money.
Oh, I like that.
At the beginning of Hanukkah or something like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then they get some things at Christmas. But one of your ideas on the that you list, which we haven't done it yet, but it always it's appealed to me. We haven't done it is rather than buy gifts, and we don't buy a lot, but is go to donate our time to some charity. Particularly, what tugs at my heartstrings is when poor kids get toys mm-hmm. that otherwise they wouldn't get. I'd like to do something like that. Maybe someday I'll just do it. But because
This someday would be a good day, tomorrow.
Yeah, right. and buy toys for as many kids as I can, as opposed to buying gifts for people who have the means to buy their own stuff.
I agree.
Coach, years ago, we rented this gym in an elementary school for an hour through the county, and it was not in the greatest section of town. And I saw these kids coming in, and it's freezing. They don't have coats. And I asked the lady who ran it, I said, why don't they have coats? And she goes, because they can't afford it. And so I remembered that. And Black Friday the next year, I went and bought like 25 coats because I could really get a deal. And she says, well, you're going to have to deliver them with me. And I said, I don't think so. You can deliver them. But
what a great idea.
I can't imagine anything worse.
When I had my business, I had a similar experience. I saw some kids with sneakers that should have been on a scarecrow. And I thought, there's something we can do. There's something we can do. So I communicated with teachers, and everybody out there can do this. I communicated with teachers, and I said, give me the name of families. And it wasn't, it was a lot of teachers. I said, give me the name of families who are not going to have a memorable Christmas from the receiving end. And let's keep it anonymous, okay? But give me the name, and what we'll do is I will have people draw the name, and they will put together some presents for this family. And teachers know what their students have and what they don't have. And then I said, let's give them a break. At the time I had fitness studios, I'll give them a break, like 25% off a membership if you participate. So, there's always things that you can do, and that's what it comes from. It comes from, I call those hits. It comes from all of a sudden, hey, yo, pay attention here. You can help somebody here. Pay attention. That's what you did. Okay, you paid attention. And the hit was the kids coming in with no clothes on. For me, it was the kid with the shoes that were holy and should have been on a scarecrow. So, if you pay attention, there's opportunities that are going to make you feel fabulous. That type of giving that's going to make you feel fabulous.
Yeah, we usually adopt a family and get their sizes.
Those are
and
excellent
stuff
things
like that. Mm-hmm. But I like your next comment, and it plays into what we're talking about. Let's talk about your energy and how it impacts your health. So here's positive energy now coming out of potentially something that some people would feel would be stressful or negative energy. So now we got positive energy because we can help somebody that needs some help.
There's two. What I like to say is, if you think about an energy circle around your body, and you can think of it in any way you want to, visualize it any way you want to. But good health comes from good energy. I mean, you hear people all the time who say, "I just don't have the energy. I just don't have the energy," and they're right. That is an appropriate way to describe stress. I just don't have the energy. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that every day you make 5 energy deposits. And it can be something really simple, like, wow, you look nice today. Or, wow, you did a great job with that project. Or one for yourself. And I mentioned this last year, the Christmas baking. Go to Wegmans. Buy the cookies there. Figure out a way to take away some of the stress. If you need to bake with your children, They have the dough that is already there for you, or buy cookies, plain cookies, and have your kids decorate them. You know, any way that you can just spend the quality time and not worry about having to focus on the time that it takes for the actual event. Minimize the time that it takes to accomplish the same thing. So those are all energy deposits. The two greatest energy deposits that you can make every day to help with health, because you want to maximize energy to create health, come from love and creativity. And when we're talking about giving, that's something that feels, that warms your heart. And that's love, extension of self. That's the definition that I know to be true about love. And creativity, I mean, I just got finished telling you, I tell my mother-in-law all the time, give me a Lois Hutson original. I don't care if it's a pot holder. She makes those too. That's all I want. Right? I don't need anything, because I'll figure out how to, trust me, I'll figure out how to get it during the year.
Is your husband listening? And your children? And your friends?
Uh-huh.
All right. So I like then that drawing in on the positive of the helping the folks. That does make you feel good and makes them feel good. And you don't do it just for yourself to make yourself feel good, because it's transference of energy. Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's not, you know, that's, you bring up a good point. So you examine your intent, because here's the deal. I don't want to create more stress. If there's myriad ways of giving, okay? You don't necessarily have to volunteer at a soup kitchen. You don't necessarily have to do any of the things that the three of us have discussed here. You know, you can figure out your own creative way of giving. And what is important is to take a look at your intent and make sure that it brings energy to your body. It's not something you need to sit down and think about, oh, I really should do that. I really should do that. I really should do that. Then it becomes a stressor. So it's, you know, there's a quote, and I, forgive me, Oliver, it's an Oliver Wendell Holmes quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I have to, but the quote is, I don't give a fig for simplicity, but I give my right arm for the simplicity behind complexity. So when I interpret that, I say, okay, so you're a unique individual, okay? Figure it out from your own personal biospecifics. What makes sense to you? Figure it out. And you will.
Okay, and one of these bullet points, last one on the first page. Every day, ask yourself, what one thing can I do today that will really put a big smile on my face?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Something, and it can be something really minimal, like taking 10 minutes, which, by the way, everybody needs to do, but taking 10 minutes for yourself, okay, and just doing whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy. Read a book, okay? Play on the internet. Buy yourself a present. Exercise. Whatever makes you happy. Get up in the morning, figure out something that makes you happy, and then just do it.
Hmm. Okay. I got a new opportunity each morning now.
Yep.
That I didn't know that I had. Okay. Now, some folks, they're just not going to be happy. Or for good reason, they're not going to be happy. How do we approach them and try as best we can? You can't do this with everyone, but you can at least try. How do we try to not reverse it, but make it less onerous on them to face the holidays?
That's a little tough. If the person has gone through a loss, if the person is experiencing one of those circumstances that changes their life as they knew it, if they had to experience the death of a loved one or divorce, that's a biggie, because that's going to change a holiday altogether. All right. What I say is respect that person. And if that person it cannot, and what I'm saying to the people out there, if this holiday season is particularly stressful because of one of those circumstances, then you have to give yourself permission to go through a type of grieving this holiday. And the only thing I would say, as respectfully as I can possibly say it, is realize that this is going to pass and that you don't want to relive it every holiday. You don't want to relive it every single holiday, the grief, okay? You don't want to stay in the grief because it's the holiday season. And I'm not minimizing that, but I am going to tell you that on the list of stuff that can happen, okay, in a year that could make the holiday different, on the list that I can conjure up in my mind, all of those have happened to me.
Okay, how do you... I mean, the loss of someone, the passing or divorce, it's going to be a scar. But I have friends 30, 40 years still got to bring up the same negative event that happened to them. And sometimes enough of that.
Uh-huh.
What happened in those 30 years, it was better than that.
Uh-huh.
But every year, you know, and nice, you know, they're good friends, but sometimes it get a little exercise.
It does. And the only thing that you can do with a situation like that, in my opinion, is... change your reaction. Change your reaction to the story. You know, I say to people, when somebody's particularly critical or they give you an opinion and you didn't ask for it, you know, I like to say, oh, how interesting. Because then you throw it right back on them. And then I say, why'd she feel that was interesting? What? And then, you know, usually you throw them off so much that, okay, the subject's automatically changed because they're not expecting that response. There's a woman who wrote a book called Anatomy of the Spirit. Her name's Carolyn Mace, and she talks about woundology, okay? And that's an example of woundology, staying in a wound, okay? You have to focus on getting out of the wound. Or you become a victim. And I tell people all the time, we're going to be victimized in life. You can't live life without at some point feeling that. But you don't have to assume the role of victim. That's where you make the distinction. This, what I'm going through right now, stinks. But this is going to pass. All right. Your life can change on a dime for the positive as well.
Okay. Create new traditions. I mean, this one person, the tradition was remembering the bad thing, but create a new, forget this person, create a new tradition. How do we do that?
Well, it's just like I said before, you know, what were your traditions? What traditions did you observe in your family? You know, and did you like them? And if you didn't like them, why are you still doing them? All right. You are an adult now. And you may not have had control of circumstances then, but you have control now. So create a new tradition, like my new tradition. All right. There's so many situations that come up that are stressful. Okay. If there's something that you do in your family or that you did in your family, let's even talk about gift giving. Okay. Suppose you came from a family that gave gifts to everybody. Or suppose you came from a family that gave gifts to no one. All right. What then? You're creating a new tradition right there. What do you eat? What do you want to keep on the menu? What do you want to get rid of? Okay. That's a new tradition. Deciding that you're going to take your kids, exactly what you said, you're going to take your kids and you're going to have them gather up all the toys that they're not using and you're going to gift them. All right, that's a new tradition. Anything that you can think of that you what you do is you decide, no, I did that then, but this is now, and this is what I want to create now. This is different, but it's okay.
Okay, how about the tradition of eating? It starts in Thanksgiving, and I call it the sliding board to 10 pounds, and it ends January 1st. Okay, so that's a tradition, and I don't know too many people that don't enjoy that tradition, but how do we enjoy it less?
Okay, the problem with that is you, once again, you give yourself permission. You got to listen to the way you're thinking, okay, and what the way you're speaking. Oh, it's the holiday. That's rationalizing it. What I say to people is the very worst thing you can do is go to a party hungry. don't try to save calories and go to the party hungry. It's never good, and it never turns out well. All right, and there are physiological reasons for me to say that, but we don't have time to go into them. Just trust me with this, okay? And eat before you go to a party. I'll tell you something I do. I'm a bit of a wine snob. I'm sorry, but I am. So I like red wine, but I only like, I tell people it's in my family, you know, it's the Italian thing. So I only like certain wines. And when you go to organized parties, lots of times, because of cost, there's not going to be a good wine. So I'll have a glass of wine before I go. And when I get to the party, it's not necessary for me to have another glass of wine, or I'll have sips of it or whatever. Okay. So I'm saying that's just what I do. I know a lot of other women who have lost a lot of weight during the year, and they'll say to me, what I do is I allow myself the main course, but I don't allow myself the hors d'oeuvres. And that's their discipline. To me, what I said in the beginning of the show, don't abandon positive behaviors during the holiday season. You don't have to gain that typical 5 to 10 pounds. It's not something that's inevitable. It's up to you.
Okay.
So you have a drink before you go to a party.
I do.
That's something I ought to start doing.
Are you a wine snob too?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know very little. I like wine. I like wine.
Well, I don't know a lot about it. It's just I know what I like, and it's usually,
well, I guess,
usually a little more expensive.
I like wine with meals more than just to drink it, although exceptions when we were in France a few months ago. Their red wine and anything you buy seems wonderful. Now, maybe it was the fact that I was in Paris, but that it tasted so good.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think Christian Louboutin shoes are over the top.
Wonderful.
How do you like that?
But
is that wine?
No. Very expensive.
It could be
footwear,
as far as I know. But I have to attend an annual Christmas party next Sunday, and I have to go because it's after the Redskin game. If the Redskins were on, I wouldn't go. But all they have is beer and wine. Now, I can have one beer, and usually that's about it for me. I like that one beer, but to sit there and have several, unless I'm with a beer drinker, and I just don't have a taste for a lot of beer or a lot of wine. So I should probably be drinking my Jack Daniels before I get to the party.
I tell you, it works for me. I don't know if it'll work for you, but it works for me. It works very well for me.
I do that. I have Jack Daniels before I go to the party, and then I won't, be missing it as much at the party.
It's a great picture of Keith Richards years ago, and he used to walk around with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Mm-hmm. You got to tell everybody who Keith Richards is.
If they don't know.
Oh, yeah, come on. If anybody's listening to this show that isn't of this of our generation, they're not going to know that.
Well,
he plays for a band called the Rolling Stones.
Yay.
And he's got a remarkable constitution. Great. By all rights, he should be dead by now, but he's far from it, apparently.
And has a great book. That book he wrote won a Norman Mailer Award. Anyway,
that's good to hear.
Yeah. So let's get back to this. Get 7 hours of sleep. How do I get 7 hours of sleep?
You can do it if you focus on it.
And then I toss and turn because I'm anxious about what it didn't get done because Patty told me I had to get 7 hours of sleep.
Okay.
And we dare not cross Patty.
Well, here's the thing. It's not me. When I look at a study, okay, I take a look at it, and I want to see validity and reliability. So it has to come out consistently supporting the hypotheses of the study. So 7 hours, less than 7 hours sleep. All right, and I know a lot of people don't do this anyway. And I tell people, always make that your goal. You can do it, okay? Especially today. You can, if your favorite show's on, tape it. All right. You can do it. The thing of it is, if you don't do it, you affect your reaction time. You affect your health, especially cardiovascular health. You affect your stress level. You affect the decision-making process. All right. So everything gets a little bit more cloudy when you don't get 7 hours of sleep. So again, maybe somebody listens to me during the seminars and that became one of their goals and they effectively managed to get 7 hours sleep, even during the week. And then all of a sudden, holidays come around and that goes right out the window. It doesn't have to. I'm going to go back to that prioritizing. Okay. When can you get your shopping done? When can you get your cooking done? You know, you basically have to have a tremendous respect for yourself, your health, your body, physiologically, psychologically, spiritually. You have to have a respect. And when you do that, when you realize that, your body's going to treat you well. So that's the number one stressor.
Okay. So I'm very good at getting 7 hours, but for a couple weeks a year, a few weeks a year, I don't. Can I make up for it?
No, you can't. You can't do that.
If I lose two a day, then I can sleep 9 hours for a few days.
Yeah,
no?
That's like, you know, that reminds me of when the doctor says one drink a day for a woman, two for a man, and a man will say, "Well, I didn't have drinks 5 days a week, so I'm gonna Sunday I'm gonna watch RG3 and I'm gonna put on five drinks. I'm going to have my 12 drinks then because I didn't have it during the week."
So you know my friends.
Yeah, drink consistently, but that's my motto.
All right, be mindful of what you eat. I'm a sugar junkie, and I can stop it, but boy, that stuff looks good. And there it is. It's just a smorgasbord of Napoleons and cookies and the like.
All right. You know what I say about that? And it's interesting you bring that up because I was at a party on Saturday night. And in Italian, we say it's a Viennese table and it has all the pastries. And so and everything on there. And people were swarming that table and they got the biggest plate they could possibly get. Some of them, I swear they were serving platters. And they had these huge chunks of cake and they had everything that was on there. And what I say is take a little bite of everything that looks good. And what I mean by take a little tiny portion, I mean a spoonful, okay, and put it on your plate and then taste. And if something, then once again, what tastes the best? And go back and have a serving size
all
of what
them.
Tastes, not necessarily.
Okay? They're all equal.
And I might add that he's got, ladies and gentlemen, great genetics. He's standing here saying this, and I can't get into that either, but that makes a difference.
I'm standing here looking at, we're in a studio, and there's a glass wall, and right outside the glass wall is a plate of bagels, looks like donuts, fruit, coffee, and now I'm hungry. Andrew's got great restraint. He's just sitting there smiling, and he's staying away from it. Smart man, Andrew. All righty. Conclusions. Decide to find a way to create joy. Now, we talked about the power of positive thinking. I think that's a book title, actually, right?
Mm-hmm. If it isn't, it should be, and I'm sure it is.
I think it's
somebody,
Dr. Norman Vincent Peale.
Okay.
My mother used to talk about that, and so I wouldn't want to even hear about him, but I understand there is this book, The Power of Positive Thinking. All righty, so decide a way to create joy. We touched on that a little bit, but we're coming down to the final few minutes, so let's create some joy, because we found all the ways around the negativity.
Okay. Once again, it's according to what individually makes you happy. Individually, you know, I can't tell you. I can tell you that gratitude is better for your body than complaint. I can tell you that a little bit of exercise is better for your body than no exercise. I can tell you that staying within your budget is a lot better than going over your budget. I can tell you that spending the holidays with somebody that you choose to spend the holidays with is a lot better than spending the holidays with somebody that you absolutely do not want to spend the holidays with. I can think of a lot of things that would create joy for me personally, Okay. I love, love, love to bake. So for me, it's not stressful. And I gift people with Italian pastry and all the Italian cookies.
Were those like almond cookies?
All of them.
Ooh. Okay. Control what you can control and accept it is what it is.
That's the best motto. It is what it is. Okay. And you just have to accept that. Right? If you don't have money for gifts, hey, it is what it is. There's ways that you can be creative with gift giving. And if anyone doesn't understand that you can't be or you can't adhere to their standards, once again, you got to start taking a look at your friend list.
All right. Another couple comments. Give of yourself and to yourself. That's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I say wake up every day and find something that you like to do and just do it. Okay. And when I say give of yourself, here's the motto, do no harm.
Okay.
To yourself or others.
And your last bullet point, gratitude times infinity. What does that mean?
Well, once again, find three things to be grateful for, even if you're not in a negative situation. Because when you're in gratitude, you can't be in complaint, and it's good for the body. It's good for the body.
Okay, this is great. I got some ideas out of this. Patty, final comments, John?
Yeah, I'm beginning to like Christmas again,
oh,
thanks
goody.
To Patty.
Patty the healer.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
I like that.
Okay, final comments, Patty? Not that you haven't said
the
much
only thing,
before.
My only comment is I wish everybody out there a safe, happy, blissful holiday season.
Okay. And we'll be back next week to talk about something more blissful. Financial planning. Bye-bye.
Okay.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.